Welcome to another episode of Escaping Moral Adventure. Today we are very excited about our topic. It is about being response able. So response A-B-L-E, and we will be talking about that in contrast with being reactive. So we're talking about responding versus reacting today. We did do, I feel like, a lot of homework on this, and even in that, it was sort of a struggle to decide what to include in the episode, what not to, and I feel like we're sort of just scratching the surface on this. I feel like there's a lot more to it than even what we'll cover today.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of layers to it. There's a lot of places you can go with it. You can tie it to responsibility and taking responsibility, but we kind of decided, let's just focus on this concept of responding versus reacting. And what is the difference? And how can you be personally response able? But I think respond and react, people might hear that and they might say, well, I kind of know what the difference is between those two words, but what do we mean when we say respond and react? So let's dive in. Okay. Let's hit that topic.
So I'll start with an example. Let's just say that you ask your kiddo to go brush his or her teeth or clean his room, and your kiddo chooses not to. So you tell him that he cannot play his favorite game for the rest of the day. He gives you attitude, raising his voice, "I'm never going to listen to you. You are the worst parent ever." Has anyone ever heard those words? Please tell me I'm not the only one. So you feel yourself getting worked up, getting angry, frustrated, and you end up yelling back something like, "Go to your room," or maybe, "Go brush your teeth right now." And and so the situation just sort of escalates and doesn't go well. So if that situation happened and you were to look back at that situation, how would you explain it to someone? How would you explain what went on in that situation if you were telling the story to someone else?
Yeah, because when you're in those situations, you don't feel good about it, right? And you definitely try, at least I do, to think about it. Why did that go wrong? Why did that go sideways? And I think the initial reaction typically is along the lines of, well, they didn't listen, or they should have been listening. I'm the parent, darn it. They should have just listened to what I had to say. But yeah, I mean, I guess typically if you look back at the situation and explain it, you would probably explain it something like, well, they did that, so I did this. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good way to dive into. Now, how do we explain the difference between reacting and responding in that particular situation? So how about this cycle of reaction or cycle of response? You want to get into that?
Sure. This isn't original to us. We kind of looked this information up. And then we kind of tweaked it a little bit. Just because we wanted to and thought it was, necessary.
Well, I mean, yeah, key is it's based on a lot of different ideas that other people have had. So to your point, Not original to us per se. But what I would say we did is tried to clarify.
Yeah, that's a better word.
So I'd say some of them are more psychological in nature and whatever, but we try to just clarify, simplify, like what happens whenever these type of situations arise.
Right. Okay. So let's talk about a reaction, or like what a cycle of reaction or reactivity might look like. So you start with this event or this stressful situation. Some stressor happens. And then based on the complex version of who you are, so, you know, your personality, your belief system, all those parts that make up who you are, based on that, you experience some sort of automatic or unconscious thoughts. So these are just those thoughts that pop into your head, as quickly as you can snap your finger. And so you take those automatic thoughts and then you turn them into a negative behavioral reaction. So if we go back and look at the example that we started with, okay, your kid's backtalk. Right? So that's the event or the stressor. And then you have these automatic thoughts, right? Maybe it's, they should be doing what I said. I'm their parent. They're disobeying. They're being disrespectful. They never listen to me, which that would be false because sometimes they do listen to you, but oftentimes that's one of those automatic thoughts, right? So then those thoughts lead to this negative behavioral reaction, which could be you're yelling back at them in anger, or the situation and your stress escalates, you know, and it doesn't end well. And so reactions, they happen from a lack of self-control. And I think that's an important piece to that.
Yeah. And I think it's okay. I think in general, it's okay to say, look, we're not saying you're not going to have an emotional response to these situations, right? In other words, it's normal, and I shouldn't use the word response there, but you're going to have an emotion when these things happen. So kid backtalks you, you're going to have an emotion. Anger, disappointment, frustration, right? Those are going to happen. The question, I think, is that last part, which is, do you turn that emotion directly into the action that you take, the behavior that you take?
That's a good point.
And so you've described very well a reaction. So what's the way out of a reaction? Let's talk about response. So what changes in the response situation? So that was the reaction.
Okay.
Now this is the key part. So that was the reaction. Here's the response. And this is saying, how do you become response able?
Correct. Okay, so let's look at what a response is, or what this cycle of response or being response able might look like. So you still have this event or stressor that happens, or stressful situation. And then after that happens, based on the complex version of who you are, you still experience some sort of automatic thought, unconscious thoughts. But after that, there's this additional step. So there's this time of pause, a space for reflection where you have reflective thoughts, conscious thoughts about what's going on. And that's a time where you could apply your principles and different things during that time. And then after that pause and that thought period, then you intentionally choose your behavior, your response, right, out of a place of self-control for that situation. So that's responding and being response able. If we take that back and apply that kind of to our example that we used at the beginning, right, our kids back talk, we have those thoughts, they should do what I said, they're being disrespectful, they never listen to me, which again is still not true, but we have that thought oftentimes. And then we have this additional step, though, where we maybe ask a question, what does my child need, right? What is he or she lacking right now? What could I have done differently? What are my principles? How can I apply them? What might that look like? And then maybe after that, right, you get down on your child's level, right, physically, squat down, get on their level, and then you calmly and gently explain to them why it's not okay to be disrespectful to mom and dad, and why it is important to do what we asked. And then from there, right, after having this calm and self-controlled conversation, you know, if discipline is necessary, you would discipline from a place of love, not anger. And, you know, so maybe they still don't get to play that game for the day or something like that. But it's coming from a place of love and from a place of self-control, from being response able versus that reaction. And so in either case, right, you're not blaming your children or whoever the other people or person is in the situation for your behavior.
Yeah, I think that's a really key point. Maybe just to repeat it, either way, if you're reacting or if you're actually responding, and this is a hard learning, I would say, to have, is you cannot blame the other person. Well, you can, but it's actually not the right way to think. The right way to think is you're able to choose what to do in those situations, and you are responsible for your actions, even if you did react and not respond. So yeah, I think that's a key learning. And the thing that you said about the take that time to, you know, add the step in, reflect, use conscious thought, it doesn't have to be a long period of time, right? I mean, it's pretty short. I can remember many times, and if any of you have young kids, this is especially true, but I can remember many times where we didn't do a very good job here, and maybe we yelled or whatever, and then like right after we go, oh, they're probably starving, you know, you know what I mean?
That's true.
Like a lot of times, or, oh, she's really tired, you know?
Yeah, like, whereas if we had asked that, what does my child need, right, if we had paused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, it doesn't make it okay that they, you know, if they refuse to listen or whatever, but just that 1 second of, okay, she's probably starving. Let me just get down. Hey, honey, don't, you know, it's not okay to do that, but maybe you're hungry. Are you hungry? You know, just that quick little reminder, I would say. So you don't need it doesn't have to be a ton of time in between. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to think like, oh, this is going to, I got to go away for an hour. No. Just give yourself that time.
So I have a question for you. And maybe, I don't know if you'll want to answer this now or towards the end, but why is it important to respond versus react?
Yeah, good question. For me, I think a lot, it goes back to what we just said. So one of the hard learnings I think I've had in my life is, even if you're the type of person that reacts, and of course I've reacted a lot, right, in my life, trying to not react, but even if I did, it used to be that you would, a lot of times if you react, you would say, oh, well, that was somebody else's fault that I did that. Mm-hmm. But I think the learning I had was, wait a second, I'm completely responsible for my own actions. I can't place blame on someone else the way I acted. Mm-hmm. Even though that situation did happen and I had an emotion tied to that, or maybe someone did something bad toward me. But at the end of the day, I'm solely responsible for my actions. And if you have that mindset and you say, hey, I'm solely responsible for my actions, then wouldn't I want to put some intentionality into how I act? You know, like that's kind of the payoff is, oh, wait, first of all, you got to actually take on the responsibility, say first and go, okay, I'm completely responsible for my own actions, even though this circumstance isn't great or someone did something. So shouldn't I actually be intentional about what I do in my actions? And, you know, we've talked about principles and using those principles as our grounding. And I think that's a really good way to choose to respond. So I think that hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah, it did. Thank you. Okay, I want to just talk about how Scripture speaks to this. You know, we've shared on this podcast a lot how we have a biblical foundation, and so this is important to us, how Scripture speaks into what we do, what we say, how we live our life. And so I'm just going to share with you some scriptures. There are many more.
Sorry, I interrupted you. Oh. I wanted to make one more point before you jump into Scripture.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I don't want to interrupt you after you get into the Scripture.
Okay.
And that's about time. And we mentioned time's helpful to have that, to make sure you're responding. But I also want to say, you can still react even if you have a lot of time.
True.
I mean, you kind of see this in, like, if the situation's bad and you're trying to, like, hold a bit of a grudge, and so you're going to just react to that. So time's helpful, so taking the time. But if you don't use that time to reflect, use your principles, you can still react on a long period of time.
Yeah,
so don't think time is the solve. The solve is taking that conscious thought, you know, reflecting on the situation, taking the extreme ownership for what the next steps are. So just wanted to call that out. So time's helpful, but it's not the solve.
Yeah, and I think even like for us, it would be taking those automatic thoughts and holding them up to Scripture, right?
Yeah.
Through the lens of Scripture and seeing, okay, how do those line up with what I know to be true and my principles and all of that? And in light of that, what do I need to change about how I'm thinking about this situation? But if you don't do that during that time, you know, if you just, sorry, you're going to hear our cat. If you just if you don't hold it up to the truth, then, I mean, that cycle might not break, that thought cycle in it, and it could just make it worse, you know. I think that's what you said is important, that time isn't going to fix it on its own. You got to be intentional about what you're doing with those thoughts.
Right. Okay. Sorry. So yeah, I think
that's okay.
Moving now into the scripture part. So I think you were going to get started there.
Yeah. For those of you who couldn't see, he like held up his finger to interrupt me. And I'm like, what? I'm like trying to talk to him with my eyes to figure out what happened. Okay. So back to the scripture. Scripture speaks to being responsible versus reactive. Now it doesn't use those words exactly, but I do want to share a few scriptures with you, and there are many more, but the first one is James 1:19, which is actually the scripture that I've memorized and am trying to live out intentionally these first 3 months of this year. So it says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry." And so this clearly speaks into responding versus reacting. It shows us that, you know, we are expected to pause and respond, right? It's telling us to do that. It says to be slow to speak. And in order to be slow to speak, you're going to have to pause, you know, and stop for a minute, take that time. And same, slow to get angry. To be slow to do something, you gotta pause and take at least a second, you know. So we have to pause, and otherwise, you know, then we would be reacting. If we're quick to speak or quick to get angry, then that would be a reaction.
Well, I think it's good too, because speaking is an action, right? Mm-hmm. It's, if you have that emotion and then you speak and you speak out of emotion, we know the dangers that that can be in. So I really like this slow to speak. It, exactly to your point, it tells you, process, mm-hmm. reflect,
right.
have some conscious thought about it.
Right.
And of course, all over scripture tells us how to have conscious thought, which is, you know, a plug for going back and look at the principles.
Yes.
That's all about that. So what are those principles that you would use to be slow to speak? You know, I think that's a good call.
I do too. And then we have Proverbs 13:3, "Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything." Again, you know, it speaks to the ability and the importance of responding specifically with our words, you know, using thoughtful and controlled words. It has the word control there, right? Control your tongue to have a long life. So
it's such a plain way to say that.
Yeah.
Opening your mouth can ruin everything,
yeah.
You know.
And how many times has that happened? You know, it's like, to me, I'll speak for myself, to me, you know, it's like, just stop talking, Fallon, just stop.
As we go through this, I'm always sort of reminded of other ideas that we want to have some content on.
Mm-hmm.
And this one reminds me of some of our marriage principles around some things to do and not do, even with your spouse.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's a little bit of a... Maybe that'll come later, but yeah, you know, that's what
we hope to do some episodes on marriage principles. Okay, good. So then Proverbs, the rest of these come from Proverbs. Proverbs 15:28, "The heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words." Again, this one's focusing on words, but notice the phrase "thinks carefully." That points directly to responding. You know, in responses, we are thinking carefully. We're taking that time to do that and be intentional. And whereas when you react, you're not thinking carefully or at all sometimes, you know, you're not thinking about your behavior you engage in, or, you know, the words you speak or anything like that, oftentimes with a reaction. And then, okay, so the last scripture I'll share is Proverbs 12:16. It just says, "A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted." Same thing, you know, it's speaking to self-control, to being response-able versus reacting. If, you know, a fool is quick-tempered, that would be a reaction if you're quick-tempered. If you're wise, though, you're going to stay calm, and that takes pausing, you know, and thinking about what you're going to do or not do.
I also think of the second part, a wise person stays calm when insulted. What does it take to stay calm when insulted? And certainly it takes this responsible thing, which is to be able to reflect and understand, but it also takes some pre-work, which would be, because if you're insulted and you can stay calm, it means that you can sort of think about, again, back to what you hold true, your own principles, Who are you? What is your value for us? You know, who are you in Christ and what is your value in Christ? So when you get to things like being insulted, well, you actually don't have to take that offensively because you're not here to please someone else, right? Mm-hmm. So I really like that second part. I think it speaks exactly to this
concept.
Points. And actually, let me just follow that up because I think in order to a wise person stays calm and insulted, I think one of the ways I was just calling out there is being proactive. Mm-hmm. And what I mean is the proactive part of staying calm and insulted would be find your foundation. You know, what are your principles that you hold true? And again, we did an entire session on principles and we have 7 principles that we use that are biblical and they guide our life. And so we use those principles in situations. And I wanted to call out a little bit here. There's a book we've referenced before called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And his first habit is called be proactive. And he actually contrasts being proactive with being reactive.
Interesting.
And so this is where this is one of the times I've seen response able. And this is what he says. This is a quote. Being proactive is about taking responsibility for your life. You can't keep blaming everything on your parents or your grandparents. Proactive people recognize that they are response able. They don't blame genetics, circumstances, conditions, or conditioning for their behavior. They know they choose their behavior. Reactive people, on the other hand, are often affected by their physical environment. They find external sources to blame for their behavior. If the weather is good, they feel good. If it isn't, it affects their attitude and performance, and they blame the weather. So very much, I think, connected to our topic here and also connected to that last scripture, especially that you mentioned about being able to stay calm. Another thing that I think is important here about, again, building from taking that responsibility. So that question you asked me earlier, why is it important to respond versus react? And I said, well, I realize that I'm responsible for my own actions. And the Bible talks a lot about personal responsibility. So I think there's a good connection here. And I'm going to give a couple examples, but I'll start out with just a scripture that I think is important that gets right to the heart of, you know, this concept of being personally responsible. And this comes from Ezekiel 18:20. It says, "The one who sins is the one who dies. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them." Mm. So it's getting at this concept of it's on you to take responsibility for your actions, for your behavior. And the Bible kind of gets into that personal responsibility concept. And I want to give 3 examples when people in the Bible didn't take responsibility. Okay. These are pretty well known, but I'll just mention them quickly. And I'll just say, I think a really good thing when you hear these examples is, how do you feel about these people that I'm going to mention? Mm-hmm. How do you feel about what they did in these situations? Mm-hmm. And I'll come back to that. But first one is, So Adam blames Eve. That's the first example. 3 examples quickly. Adam blames Eve. Garden of Eden. God gave Adam and Eve a command not to eat from the one tree. And they did after they were tempted. And God came and said to Adam, you know, hey, what happened, basically? This is Mark's version of the translation, but hey, what happened? And now here's a direct quote from the scripture. Adam says, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it."
Yeah, he totally throws her under the bus.
Yeah. And we definitely don't look back at Adam and think, oh, that was a really noble thing to do. We don't admire that, right? Yeah. For sure. So, example 1. Example 2, Cain and Abel, brothers. Cain actually kills Abel after some basically fighting. And, you know, of course, I love the scripture. I don't love the scripture, but I just love how God sets it up because he says, and so this is Genesis 4:9. "The Lord said to Cain, 'Where is your brother Abel?'" Like, of course, God knew where his brother Abel was. So how does Cain respond? He said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Mm. Again, shedding that responsibility. Like, not my problem, you know. So yeah, again, we definitely don't look back in a, you know, we don't admire Cain for this mm-hmm. behavior for sure. And then lastly, Pontius Pilate, whenever Jesus was brought to him mm-hmm. and they said, you know, hey, we want to crucify him, basically. Mm-hmm. After trying to kind of weasel his way out of it, finally he this is the scripture. So this is Matthew 27:24. It says, when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, because he was trying to kind of get himself out of this situation, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd and said, I am innocent of this man's blood. He said, it is your responsibility. And then, like, the next scripture, which I didn't put here, says something like, he handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. Mm. So he was trying, again, shedding responsibility. Mm-hmm. And again, we don't look back at these examples and say, hey, these are admirable people or admirable actions in these situations.
Yeah. I just said that's good. I meant to say that's a good example of shedding responsibility. It's not good.
Yeah. So we've kind of followed here of this react versus respond is important concept. It goes into, first of all, just being able to take right action in circumstances, but second of all, taking responsibility. So why is it important to take responsibility? Yeah. So yeah.
It's good. Okay. Well, I have a story to share. And then I think that's about it, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, I think probably most of you are familiar with, like, the nailed it Pinterest memes, you know, so you might find this recipe on Pinterest for making a cute little owl brownie or something like that, and you give it a whirl and it ends up looking literally like poop, right? And then you put those pictures side by side and post it on social media with the caption, nailed it. I always chuckle at those. Okay. But anyway, all that to say, that's usually how I feel about parenting. So, you know, I'll read some book about parenting or hear something on a podcast and, you know, it talks about why this is a good tactic or technique to use and how it'll, you know, may play out or whatever. And so I have this expectation in my mind of what it's going to look like. And usually it goes nothing like that. And, you know, so I feel like I need the caption nailed it, but I obviously didn't. But on this particular occasion, so the story that I'm going to share with you, I did feel like I nailed it with a lot of help from the Lord, just kind of holding my hand through it. But I'm going to share that with you.
Well, when you say that, I think it's so funny when you said, like, that's how we feel about parenting. I can remember when you have been reading a book and we're going through, like, trying to discipline our children for things or just trying to, can they just please listen and brush their teeth, you know, something. Mm-hmm. And you're like, Mark, this is what we need to do. And I'm like, that doesn't work.
It's like, Mark, reality discipline, okay? Yeah. Reality discipline. He's like, well, what's reality discipline? What would the real consequence be here?
I'm like, let me tell you what reality is. They're not listening to me. That's the reality.
I don't even remember if that's what it was called.
I think.
Okay. Okay, so anyway, on this particular day, the girls were playing fine together. I was in the kitchen. They were in the living room and just running around, and they have baby doll strollers. And so they each had one, and they were running around in circles pushing those. Well, that was fine for a while, but what ended up happening is they kind of got all out of sorts. I don't know if they were arguing over something or what, but next thing I know, our younger daughter is running as fast as she can, screaming, saying, no, stop, and looking over her shoulder, watching the older sister catch up to her. You know, so the older one is running as fast as she can, chasing the younger one around and around and around while they're pushing their strollers and, you know, they're screaming and stuff at each other.
But no longer having fun.
No longer having fun. It quickly escalated into a no longer having fun situation. Clearly, it was not going well. And especially the young one did not want to be doing this anymore. So anyway, I felt myself kind of getting frustrated, like, this is ridiculous. You know, like, they should know better than this. And which, again, so that's that automatic thought, right? They really shouldn't know better. They're toddlers, you know, so it's going to take a lot of teaching for them to know better. But so all these thoughts are going through my head, and I was getting ready to do my usual, girls, that's enough. Stop chasing each other with the strollers. Get over here right now. You're in trouble. And I felt that welling up inside of me, but the good Lord brought to my mind our word for the month, which this happened in January, and our word was joy. And that morning I had resolved, I think I'd even prayed about it, to be intentional about being joyful that day. I didn't want to be a crabby, frustrated mom anymore, and I really wanted to just be joyful, even in the midst of struggle or stress or whatever the case may be. So that thought was going through my head, you know, during my pause time, and I was thinking, okay, how can I help resolve this while still remaining joyful? And so, you know, I'm thinking about that. At this point, it's also worth pointing out, you know, that this goes right along with one of our principles, which is finding joy in all circumstances, which, you know, we talked about last week in our episode. So the joy word and our principle is running through my head. And then, so the first part of this year, the first 3 months, one of the scriptures that I'm trying to live out intentionally is James 1:19, which I shared earlier, that says, you know, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And so that was actually going through my head as well. I recite that and pray that scripture almost every morning to keep it in the forefront of my mind. And so that was going through my head. And it's also worth noting here that that ties into a couple of our principles as well, about knowing and loving God and His word and seeking and doing God's will. So that scripture and trying to live that out, so memorizing that and trying to live it out, ties to those two principles of ours. Okay, so all these things are going through my mind in a matter of, you know, a minute or two. Meanwhile, the girls are still screaming unhappily, you know, going around in circles, pushing their baby doll strollers. And even while all that was going on, I felt my frustration level just decrease as I paused and just reflected on all of these things. And so I walked over to our Alexa and I knelt down beside it, and I had to, like, you know, cut my hands over my mouth, just so it could hear me over the screaming, you know. And I said the first thing that came to my mind, and I looked up the lyrics to this song after I had it played. I do not recommend this song, but I said, Alexa, play Timber. And so, you know, the Alexa responded in that creepy voice and said, playing Timber by Pitbull featuring Kesha. And I cranked the volume up and just started cutting loose. So I'm dancing in the living room, and the girls are running around screaming, chasing each other with the strollers. And so within seconds, I mean, it was like a miracle. I mean, it's almost like the Lord just reached down and stopped the girls from running around, you know, and they stopped what they were doing, and they just stared at me like, what is my mom doing? And so I asked them if they wanted to dance, and they kind of shook their head and said no, but I could tell, you know, maybe they wanted to, but they just weren't convinced yet. They weren't quite cooled down from their little tiff they had. But before the song was over, my oldest was tapping her foot with the beat, and the youngest, with her head down, not wanting to make eye contact with me and still holding onto her stroller, was kind of shaking her shoulder, moving her shoulders and shaking her hips side to side. And when the song was over, all was well. And I'm like, Lord, thank you. You know, I did. I thanked him after that. But the point being here is this is the difference between responding and reacting. My go-to was a reaction. You know, I do that more often than I should, but because I think because of multiple reasons, but because we have those principles, because we were focusing on the word joy for that month, and I prayed that morning to be intentional about being joyful, and because I had been memorizing that scripture about being quick to listen, slow to speak, because of those things, that helped me pause and reflect and apply and respond in that situation instead of reacting. So I guess I'll say I almost nailed it because my song choice was really, really poor. Do not use that song. Thankfully, when that song's playing, you can't really hear most of the inappropriateness. But anyway, okay.
So new song.
Yeah, new song. But
what I like it, I like what I like about that is you paused, you know, you took that time, that just that little amount of time. And it's not that you didn't have that emotion. It's not that you didn't have the frustration.
Yeah.
You took that little bit of time. So good. Okay. So summary. In any situation, you have a choice. You can react or you can respond. Reacting means, you may not think so, you're choosing to act based on just the emotions that you're experiencing in that situation. So you're just emotions, act, mm-hmm. whether that's saying something you regret, yelling, or doing something you regret. Responding is taking the time to reflect on the situation, applying your principles, conscious thought, and then choosing your action based on that. So that's that.
That's good.
Scripture backs up this concept about responding, for example, being quick to listen, so to speak, and also personal responsibility, so taking responsibility for your actions. But oftentimes, people who react tend to blame others for their action. And I think that's because they're feeling that emotion mm-hmm. that immediately follows mm-hmm. the stress, the circumstance. And so it's sort of easy to say, oh, well, that was caused by this thing or this person or that person. Therefore, my action was caused by that person. And that's what happens a lot of time if you're reacting. Yeah. So you need to have that mindset shift of you're still responsible even when you react. So, you know, use that, that response. And you won't be perfect at this. You know, I'm certainly not perfect at this.
No, not. No, I didn't mean. I mean, no, you're not. But
it's okay. I'm not.
I meant neither am I.
I'm definitely not perfect. And so, if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, I keep reacting, like, just think about how you can improve or get better. So, get this in your brain. That way, when you have that next time where you have that stressor, mm-hmm. and you feel that emotion. Give yourself that time to, you know, to respond.
Yeah.
Take the time to respond.
It's good.
And I want to read one more quote because I think it's relevant here. And we've talked a little bit here about situations where, you know, really a lot of these are a little bit surface level, like mm-hmm. a kid's not obeying you or, you know, someone says something and it upsets you. But this person named Viktor Frankl, who we've quoted before, he wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And I can't remember if I mentioned this last time, but so Viktor Frankl survived the Nazi concentration camps. Hmm. And Man's Search for Meaning was a book about the experiences he had during that time. And this quote he has in there, I think, is really relevant, especially when you put it in context of someone who survived Nazi concentration camps. Yeah. He said, "Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom." And I was like, oh my gosh, wait a second. This guy had the worst of the mm-hmm. worst circumstances. Surely he could blame lots of things for negative responses he has. But what he's saying is, don't give away that power to actually choose. You have a choice. You can respond. So if he can apply it in the worst of the worst circumstances, I think we can apply it as well. So
I agree.
Good. Anything you wanted to still mention?
No, that's it for today's content. I did just want to say that if you're finding any of our content helpful or enjoying listening to the episodes, would you please leave us a rating and a review? That just helps us really increase our reach. You know, tell your family and friends about it. Send them the link so they can listen as well. And we would really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. And, you know, we're doing it because we want it to be helpful to people. And I mean, that's the idea. Yeah. So Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. And if you could share and, you know, subscribe, make sure you're subscribing so that you see when new content comes. Yes, I think that's that's really important. So, okay.
All right. Thanks so much for listening.
See you next time.
Bye.